Good evening. This is Henry Banks, senior producer and host of People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, part one of our broadcast of the 50th anniversary celebration of the Black Student Union at the University of Wisconsin in Superior. Black Student Union celebrates 50 exciting years of continuous educational programming in Superior, Wisconsin. Tonight, we're featuring Dr. Jarrell Benton, Daniel and Sandra Oyenloye, and Dr. Mary Ann Canty Merrill. All of this coming up next on People of Color with Henry Banks after this news.
People are filtering back into the great room. I am going to introduce our keynote speaker for tonight. Dr. Mary Canty Merrill is the Chief Executive Officer of Merrill Consulting Associates, a professional services firm based in Denver, Colorado, with more than 25 years of progressive experience in the private, nonprofit, and public sectors. She brings a wealth of knowledge and expertise in the design and management of high-performing leaders, teams, and organizations. She is also known for her no-nonsense style of inspiring and motivating the masses to engage introspection, shed mediocrity, and unleash human potential to ignite organizational and change. A fierce advocate for racial justice and equality, Dr. Mary endeavors to raise awareness and increase knowledge of the breadth and depth of institutionalized racism by deepening understanding of the dynamics of oppression at the individual, group, cultural, and system levels. Her interdisciplinary background and collective experiences enable her to interact and establish rapport with a diverse range of constituents. And she is adept at fostering difficult conversations that elicit the full participation of non-melanated groups and creating a more just and equitable society. Having authored 3 books and written the 4 to several others, Dr. Mary's most recent literary project, scheduled to launch in early 2019, is entitled Why Black Lives Matter 2, Voices of Our Youth. It is part 2 of her popular and thought-provoking anthology, Why Black Lives Matter 2, A Revolutionary Call to Action. In addition, her professional blog, The Inside Out with Dr. Mary Canty Merrill, provides commentary on a range of topics and issues that encourage dynamic thinking, transform individual experiences, and enhance personal and professional development and growth. As a seasoned professional and social justice advocate, Dr. Mary is committed to developing viable solutions that address critical issues by examining race and improving relations and getting to the collective impact. And for some of us in the room, this is not the first time that you heard her. She spoke at the Freedom Fund dinner last night, which I heard was a dynamic experience. And then also, this keynote speech will be broadcasted on WPR, which is housed right here on the University of Wisconsin Superior's campus, on next Thursday at 6 o'clock. And I also want to give a shout out to WPR as they are recording this and then also conducted an interview with Dr. Mary as well. So put your hands together as we welcome Dr. Mary Canty Merrill to the stage.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Can you all hear me okay on these mics? You can't? You can? You can hear me okay? Okay, because I got a pretty big mouth, so one of the reasons I'm going to stay up here just so I can stay within the framework, because I understand you have another storm coming through, and if I come off this stage, it's going to be all over. So I'm going to stay up here just so that I can work within the framework. So first of all, I would like to thank Dr. Jarrell Benton for this illustrious introduction. I'm extremely pleased to have this opportunity to speak to so special a gathering of university officers and scholars, teachers, administrators, students, parents, community members, alumni. I am delighted to get here. And for those of you that don't know, Jarrell mentioned, I was here last night, and I was actually scheduled to come in on Thursday. But hearing about the storm, I thought I would launch out and leave home on Wednesday to give myself time to, just in case something happened, and knowing that you were going to have this impending storm. And so tonight, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time. I know you want to get back to the warmth of your homes and enjoy whatever it is left of your evening. So tonight, one of the things that I really wanted to hit home and to spend some time discussing is the distinction between advocacy and activism. Now, a lot of times people tend to use those terms interchangeably, but they are very distinct roles. So when we talk about advocacy, what we're speaking about is acting within the system, working within the system in order to ignite change. And so for those people who are classified as activists, we'll work outside of the system. So first of all, while I was crafting this message tonight, I reflected on the black men and women who have, throughout history, paved the way for us all to be here, despite what we have been through as African Americans and what we endure on a daily basis. Each and every day, I know for myself, I have to negotiate how I'm going to show up in the world, not knowing what is going to happen as I go about today, but I do know one thing, that at some point racism is going to raise its ugly head. Despite that, we have learned as a people to be resilient and to move forward with our lives, with whatever it is we've been called to do, despite the things that we have to go through and the tragedies that we face. So let me say a happy 50th anniversary to the Black Student Union, and I wish you many, many more. And the soul food dinner, I was really delighted to even hear about soul food, because coming from Colorado, soul food takes on a very different meaning. I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, and when we talk about soul food, I mean, we really mean soul food. So a young lady had said to me, she was another African-American, had grown up in Denver. She says, "Mary, you've got to try this new restaurant. It's a soul food restaurant downtown." So I'm all excited and eager, and I grab a friend of mine, and we head off to this restaurant. And let me tell you, I was offended. It was nothing like I am accustomed to eating. And so tonight I am very, very delighted to be here and have to be able to participate in a soul food dinner, because generally I end up having to cook soul food if I want it, because not too many people in the area where I live are able to do that. They said, "We can take you out to eat." And I said, "Well, I can do that myself." So thank you all for this wonderful invitation, and I'm very delighted to be here in your midst. So now let me speak a little bit about advocacy. I'm going to start out with advocacy. I mentioned to you that there is a distinct difference between advocacy and activism, and I think it's something that's important to know when we are talking about this work, the work that we do, and when it's appropriate to be an activist and when it's appropriate to serve in the role of an advocate. Advocacy, it generally aims to change the system from within. And there are a number of strategies that could be changing legislation. It might be fundraising. It could be influencing others. But it's publicly representing the organization in terms of making change. For example, lobbying is a popular advocacy intervention. And that could include letter writing. It might include working and interacting with politicians, hosting public forums, and participating in a variety of consultative processes. Now, to effectively advocate the interests and concerns of others, there are a number of important things that an advocate should do. Advocacy, first and foremost, is the foundation of activism. And an advocate, also known as a crusader, as a champion, as a proponent of a particular cause, is called upon to do three different things. The first one is to raise awareness. And this is the direct promotion of whatever cause it is that you are advocating for. The second thing is to create change. Engage actions intended to create a specific outcome. And the third thing is movement building, part of a larger effort to rally a base of supporters. Now, these three goals can be achieved through lobbying, that's altering legislation, litigating, advocating for your cause through the court system, and educating and organizing, gathering and unifying supporters. Now, one of the things that you might wonder and ask is, you know, how can I, as an advocate, what can I do as an individual to improve my role as an advocate? Well, I am very glad that you ask, because first and foremost, an advocate must use a variety of advocacy tools and strategies. And that includes media, it could be email, it might be letter writing, interacting with a range of influencers, and working at the grassroots level in the forefront of the organization to be able to enact change. Another thing an advocate must do is build and nurture relationships. Now, we all know that relationships are key to getting any kind of project or any kind of cause or any kind of intervention accomplished. We must build relationships in the role of advocacy. And these are not just relationships for asking what is it about that you can do for me, but it's also getting to know individuals with whom you are building relationship with. It's not a grab and go kind of situation. So it's really getting to know from an authentic level who you are interacting with. Another thing an advocate must do is know and use the facts. And the word facts right now in this day and time, we know that we live in a very fact-challenged society. And people tend to use information and put forth propaganda that has nothing to do with the facts. Before you launch any type of effort as an advocate, you really do need to assess the reality of the situation. Because unless you understand the reality of a situation, there is very little, if anything, that you can do to make any kind of substantial or viable change. Another thing an advocate must do is to talk less and listen more. Everybody wants to be a chief, but nobody wants to be a follower. You cannot possibly know everything. In fact, you don't know everything. None of us do. And listening is an active role. To hear is passive, but to listen is active. You must listen, not just to respond, but listen to understand, listen to get a sense of what the individual or individuals are going through. Listen so that you can gain a sense of empathy, a sense of understanding, and so that you can understand personal experiences, a person's history, and what they bring, what are the issues and experiences they bring to the situation. So stop talking. I hate to use the term shut up, but shut up. And listen. pay attention. Pay attention to what is being said.
You're listening to the 50th anniversary celebration of the Black Student Union at UWS. We'll be right back.
This is not the time to gaslight. It's not the time to assert your privilege. And this is not the time for you to say, I know better than you know, because no, you don't always know. Young people have something to say. And it is incumbent upon us to hear what they have to say. One of the things that I've discovered is that in this role that I play in working with organizations, I'm often interacting with a lot of people who are at the leadership level of the organization. And these are people who, needless to say, generally feel like, you know, since I am the president or the executive director or the chancellor or the provost or whomever it is at this point, then I know best and what I say goes. Now, as a consultant, I can tell you generally the individual who considers themselves to be in the leadership role, when they call me in to consult, the issue that they tell me, oh, this is the problem we're having, almost always is not really what the issue is. Sometimes the issue is them. They're in the leadership role, but they are squashing the voices of those who come after. So stop talking, stop gaslighting, stop second guessing, and listen. Listen, really, really actively pay attention so that you know not just what is going on, but that you can understand the nature of what the situation is and what a person is encountering, and that you can offer empathy, that you can offer understanding, that you can be compassionate, that you can serve as a mentor, that you can serve as a coach. Listen. One of the things that I'd like to say too is that people of color, we have a right to be angry. There goes that black, angry black woman again. You're darn right I'm angry. Living in this time, this day and time, and being confronted with the things that we're being confronted with, we have a right, we have every right to be angry. And we have a right to demonstrate our moral outrage. And that shows up in various ways. It could be through advocacy. It could also be through activism. But one of the things about the anger is I like to be able to use that to propel me to make a change. Not in a deconstructive way, but in a constructive manner, to take that anger, to take that outrage, and use that to make and to impact and make a change. Another thing an advocate must do is to raise awareness. Awareness leads to engagement. Awareness leads to engagement, and engagement leads to action. And action leads to advocacy. If you cannot raise awareness, then you cannot address the issue at hand. Now, let me give you an example of awareness that could be raised, but it's one of those things that people tend to overlook. Young people today, for example, they're exposed to these mass shootings in schools, and not only in schools, but where have you. And so rather than talk about the real issue of what is causing individuals to engage in these mass shootings, one of the things that folk really, really don't want to talk about is the anger and the violence and the hatred that has been perpetuated by white males in the society, and they still do not want to call it domestic terrorism. It is domestic terrorism. And some people might get upset about that, but that's okay, because I'm going to say that while I'm here. But until you address the root cause of these issues and raise awareness around those issues, it's like the height of insanity, doing the same things over and over again, the same way, and expecting a different result. That is the height of insanity. And I'm not here to pick on anybody, but I am here to bring truth. And you have to be able to acknowledge and recognize when we are dealing with or not dealing with the issue, you can't gloss over the issue and expect to make any kind of change. You must handle and confront issues head on. Somebody could even say amen if you want to. Another thing that an advocate must do is to ask powerful questions. And what I mean by asking powerful questions is asking questions that is going to elicit useful information in order for you to better assess a situation as well as devise viable interventions to address the situation. Rather than just ask a person, are you okay? That is going to elicit either a yes or no response. A better question would be, tell me how you're doing today. Tell me how you're feeling. What are you struggling with? What is keeping you up at night? These are questions that will give you more insight to gain a better understanding and a better awareness of the situation, the reality of the situation. Another thing that an advocate must do, an effective advocate, is to bring publicity to amplify your message. We all have access to media. We have access to print media, we have access to the press, we have access to social media. It's to bring the media so that they can spread the word, so that they can get the information out there. And all of this goes back to being able to understand fact, to know fact from fallacy. So that when you provide the information to the media, you're giving them accurate information for them to communicate and articulate on your behalf. If you do not do that, what you run the risk of is creating chaos instead of constructive processes. So bring the media in, but use them in a way that is going to help to advance your cause rather than to create chaos or to cause it to derail your cause. Another thing an advocate must do is to identify your points of leverage. There are many points of leverage that you can tap into. You can tap into organizations who are also proponents of the same cause that you have. You also have access and you can tap into the influential individuals in your community. You can also access and tap into the skills, resources, talents of young people, as well as the community, and whomever it is that will be able to help you to advance your cause and reach collective impact. Another essential leverage point of the digital media is something that we witnessed recently with the Parkland students. After the shooting at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas School down in Parkland, Florida, we witnessed students actually rise up. And when students rise up, they can really do some amazing things. But what we have to do is get out of the way and stop being an impediment to allowing them to help make change. Now, a lot of us, and I say us too because I would consider myself, I've come further than I have to go in this life. So when we step aside. Some of you have, in a leadership capacity, you have dug a rut, comfortably furnished that rut, and you are comfortably relaxing in that rut. There are few things that you are doing to really make change. Oh yeah, you're pontificating, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but in some cases you aren't doing a thing. It is imperative that if you are going to be in the fast lane, you need to be providing and making some speed. If you're not going to produce, get out of the way and let somebody come in that's really going to make a change. I was in Germany last year, and those of you who are familiar with Germany, you're probably familiar with the Autobahn. These are folks that are driving in the fast lane, and they're doing 100 and some odd miles an hour. And you dare not get in that lane driving 55, 60, or even 70, because you will end up somewhere with your wheels up in the air. So if you are in the fast lane and you are not producing, you are an impediment to progress. You must. It is incumbent upon you, if you are an activist, an advocate, for you to be able to produce, to make a difference. Now, I've talked about advocacy, and one of the things I'm going to do now is just kind of shift over and talk about activism. What exactly does an activist do? Activism can be viewed as a form of advocacy, and oftentimes it has a less favorable reputation than advocacy, simply because it depends on how that activism is carried out. Whether it's be through protest demonstrations, a lot of people do not want to have to garner support because they're like, oh, why are they out making trouble again? But some things you don't have to ask for, some things you have to take. And when it comes to asking for freedom, I say to my people, no, I'm not going to ask for freedom. You don't have to ask for freedom. You take your freedom. Don't allow yourself to be in a passive stance waiting for someone to christen you free. You're already free. You just need to walk in that freedom. You need to walk into freedom. Now, an activist is an action-oriented individual, and they are at the forefront of the movement. And the activist is a person who is, generally, they have a significant amount of passion, significant amount of energy and enthusiasm, and these are the people who get out there on the front lines to push for change. And they are generally working, as opposed to an advocate who works within the system, the activist is working outside of the system to make the change. Now, a lot of people like to quote Dr. Martin Luther King, so I'm gonna have to do that tonight since I'm here. But one of the things I'm going to say is that, as Dr. King said, there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but he must take it because his conscience tells him it is right. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. All of us here can be great because all of us can serve. Whether you are an advocate, whether you are an activist, whatever it is that you have been called to do, now is your time to do that. It's now your time. It is not about going in halfway. You either are going to go in all the way or go home. Go big or go home. Go big or go home. And one of the things I will say to the activist is that an effective warrior never goes to battle without being prepared. As an activist, you are a warrior. Whether you know it or not, as an activist, you are a warrior. And this means for you to be ready, to be alert, to be capable, and have the appropriate gear at all times. This means putting on the whole armor, the breastplate of courage, feet shod with pragmatism, the shield of confidence, and the helmet of endurance. If you're going to be worth your salt on the battlefield, you must always be prepared. And last but not least, it is incumbent upon all of us, whether we serve as an advocate or whether we're serving as an activist, is to engage in self-care. This is difficult work. Fighting racism, discrimination, prejudice, and all of the other hatred and vitriol that gets thrown around on a regular basis, it is incumbent upon us to engage in self-care. Some people don't want to do that, but self-care is not a luxury. Self-care is an imperative. In order for you to be able to be effective, you must take care of self. You cannot be effective if you are operating from an empty tank. And if you're operating from 1/4 quarter of a tank, you're not going to be going very far. So it is incumbent upon you to find those kinds of activities or whatever it is that brings you joy, whether that is listening to soothing music, whether it's getting a massage, whether it's doing your own pedicure and manicure at home, whether it's taking a nap, whether it's just walking in nature or hitting the treadmill at the gym, whatever it is, be sure to take care of you. Now, the one thing that I'd like to say in my conclusion, there is something that this is probably one of my favorite quotes of all time. And this is echoing the words of the 20th President of the United States, James Garfield. He says, "Be fit for more than the thing you are now doing. Let everyone know that you have a reserve within yourself. Let them know that you have more power than you are now using. If you are not too large for the place that you occupy, you are too small for it." So tonight, I challenge you to rise up to let people know that you have more power than you are now using. And I challenge you to be ashamed to die until you have won a victory for humanity. Thank you so much and have a great evening.
You're listening to the 50th anniversary celebration of the Black Student Union at the University of Wisconsin in Superior. We'll be right back.
My name is Sandra Oyenloye, and I'm the wife of Daniel Oyenloye, aka DJ Veggie, for the night.
The healthiest DJ in the Twin Ports.
And we are co-founders of Dance and Creatives. We have a few different initiatives in the Twin Ports community. A few of those are our mixtape project, where we work with young youths within the juvenile center, as well as Goodie Night. I don't know how many of you have heard of Goodie Night. If you haven't, look it up, check it out. And also our poets, which are our most popular entity right now. And those are a group of young folks in the Twin Ports who come together around poetry and just making sure that their voices are heard. But tonight we're going to be doing a combo. I know on your programs it says poetry, but we'll be giving you a bit of poetry and music. So I'll be performing two pieces tonight that are originally written by me, and so will Daniel. I'm ready when you are.
You gotta hold on to the truth, my brothers. No matter what your hood or situation might give. To rub you off the truth, you're the truth, my sisters. This burden is not yours alone, too bad. You got to hold on, yeah. You just got to hold on, hey. You got to hold on to the truth, my brothers. Don't resist this love, yeah.
Black woman. Her bloodline runs deep into the dark soils of Africa. Kissed to bronze by the radiance of the sun, beauty standing long before the Queen of Sheba, Makeda. Described by the Bible as the epitome of beauty and power, a ruler. She was designed when the earth was created, says science. I once looked at the trees and the rest of creation and realized that we're common. As I looked in the mirror in my afro, I saw the design of trees in a landscape, standing in its location, swaying with the wind, then returning to position. But see, she's been dehumanized, but secretly envied for her body's arches, only to realize that women wore corsets to accomplish the same or to simply force it. When vain eyes look upon her, they don't see her. Instead, immediately they despise her scars from war. Wounds she could never hide from the volume she's become accustomed to as she screams for liberation from the threat of the world preying on her creation to the strength they forced on her as they robbed her of her husband and looted her of her prize. A beauty that was once pure, now left defiled and naked. Like a tree without leaves, her blemishes without camouflage. She couldn't disguise the truth. She stands now as a living proof, as the world looks down upon her as a spoof. The sorrow in her eyes pierces deeper than her beauty, so tormented by bloody memories while her heart still pulses with bad blood from centuries. She's living with little rest as the guilty roams freely without pity, living her demise in a world where she feels as though she's buried her babies before their first cries. They violated her, left her for ruins, took her sucklings and projected them as nothing. All across the globe they've probed, some creating communities of bloods and crypts to exterminate systems, but drugged and turned to exterminate each other, their brothers, her sons. Some children rebels with stolen futures, making it bleak without possibilities. They hang from jeeps with machine guns and AK-47s with the alphabet they cannot repeat nor count to 47. They made her 9 months turn to vain. Turned to monsters raging against her, destroying the very womb home to where their first kick leaped across her belly. Now across the world she has been marred, her image scarred and bruised, and they continue to tell her that somehow out of her beauty she's birthed the beast. Which she knows are lies, but the pain she feels are so unbearable, so incomparable, and they watch as a spectacle as they continue to rob her of everything. But see, from her came great empires all across Africa. From her came great warriors, all not found in your history books. From her came the nation you now call the United States of America. As her son sowed the seeds of its development, one they have yet to fully reap, and she sat back in homes nursing those not from her own womb. Remember that she nursed this nation for hundreds of years, carried its rulers on her back while her babies were put aside, left to later be tied to trees hung for amusement while considered not human. Her strength overcame. Her sweet songs guided her children out of captivity. Her songs of hope, endurance, and grace led them on as she sang. Wait in the water. Wait in the water, children, now. Wait in the water. God's gonna trouble in the water. Or two. Follow the drinking gourd. Follow the drinking gourd. For the old man is waiting for to carry you to freedom. If you follow the drinking gourd. A spiritual being herself, she lifted their spirits, and she continues to pay for the cards she's been dealt. She continues to pay for the cards she's been dealt as her husband is stolen from her, no longer by slavery, but by incarceration, seeking to disenfranchise him and make their voices nothing. Her children broken in confusion, they roam from broken homes. Within her soul lies the cures to lead her people out of the trenches. Trust her, protect her, love her, so that she can. She's only human, and that they know and are more than willing to crush her. Black woman, see her bloodline runs deep into the dark soils of Africa. Kissed to bronze by the radiance of the sun, beauty standing long before the Queen of Sheba, Makeda. Described by the Bible as the epitome of beauty and power, a ruler. Thank you.
You're listening to the 50th anniversary celebration of the Black Student Union at the University of Wisconsin in Superior. We'll be right back.
Of love does not mean that I do not see. Because my heart screams peace does not mean that I am unwilling to bleed. Because my smile shines as the emblem of joy does not vanquish the pain. Because I walk a path of forbearance does not mean that I do not taste anger. And because I dwell in a house of kindness does not mean that I am not enraged. It is because I see that I am made of love. Because I am willing to bleed, my heart screams peace. Because the pain has never ended, my smile shines as an emblem of joy. Because I have tasted anger, I walk a path of forbearance. And because I am enraged, I dwell in the house of kindness. I am the prized child of destruction, the coding for depression, the embodiment of sorrow, the definition of enslavement, the ongoing sorrow falling upon deaf ears, the child crying in the night when no one is there. I am African American. See, genocide of a race you deem insignificant, you, the thief in the night to steal, kill, and destroy. I was hauled like cheap cattle, proclaimed to be property, torn from home, torn from my roots, torn from myself, soon to be commodity. I was not human. My pain regarded no meaning, my skin just dirt, worked to the bones. The masterpiece created by the lash stinging through my future generations, calling to God. My mother raped in front of my very eyes. My sister raped in the dark of the night. My wife raped as I stood forced to watch my child raped by soulless cold minds. I was downgraded to 3/5 of a person, hung from trees and tested with diseases, crushed mentally, emotionally, and physically because of fear. I was imprisoned for proclaiming my humanity. I was spit on for declaring my right. I was burned for being alive, pushed into neighborhoods unable to sustain, and then asked why. I was promised equality, which was my right from birth. I was told to fight for a nation fighting against me even upon my return. I was put on the forefront in hopes that I would die, but this was my home, the only land I knew. I am this nation's adopted child. I am told that I am unintelligent or well-spoken. I am the carrier of all things negative and evil. I am disenfranchised from most political systems used to continue the cycle of my enslavement, economically destined for failure. I am shot on streets without conviction. I am seen as negative when I feel the need to speak out. I am seen as a threat when walking home late at night. I am a thug because of my freedom and choice of attire, a bum because no one will hire. I am African. I am the broken relative to the international family, the beggar to the Western world, lazy to my counterparts, yet exotic and wild. Divided within my home due to a past rooted in deception, and you, the golden relative to the international family, giver to the world, hardworking to your counterparts, educated and respected as well. Bathe in your applause, all that you have given, all that you have caused, a thief in the night to steal, kill, and destroy. Because I am made of love does not mean that I do not see. Because my heart screams peace does not mean that I am unwilling to bleed. Because my smile shines as an emblem of joy does not vanquish the pain. Because I walk a path of forbearance does not mean that I do not taste anger. And because I dwell in a house of kindness does not mean that I am not enraged. It is because I see that I am made of love. Because I am willing to bleed, my heart screams peace. Because the pain has never ended, my smile shines as an emblem of joy. Because I have tasted anger, I walk a path of forbearance. And because I am enraged, I dwell in a house of kindness.
It's my heritage, it's my heritage, it's my heritage, it's my heritage, it's my heritage. it's my heritage, 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 it's my heritage. Yeah, I was born in Nigeria. Heritage is key to criteria.
My queen is a gem from Liberia.
Liberia, oh Liberia,
eh, things are open, I'm the home keeper.
This is my home, I'm the home keeper.
Coming up next week on People of Color, we continue to recognize women of color making a difference in our region. March is Women's History Month.